stop what you're doing and let's get unfiltered and unfettered. And now, here's Tony and Fran.
And from the Monolith Studio 1B, this is Two Law-Abiding Citizens. This is UFUF 88, the podcast you've been waiting for. This is your co-host, Tony the Bully Opinionist, along with my pal, an Italian who always pays his taxes, the Pope of the podcast, Sir Francis One. Fran, good evening.
Happy tax day, Tony.
Happy tax day. We're recording this on April 15th, tax day.
Yeah.
For all Americans. Coming. For an increasingly smaller minority of Americans who actually freaking pay taxes.
Well, yeah. Well, we're different that way, you know.
Okay, so got a lot of politics going on this week.
Oh, well, yeah. The announcement bandwagon has left the station and everyone's jumping on.
Yes, the announcement bandwagon is going. We got two people that have thrown their hat in the ring this week. Got some nice stuff in shotgunning the news, mostly politics, although we have a new bit we're going to do tonight called UFUF PC Patrol, in which we examine ridiculous instances of political correctness, or what I think are ridiculous instances of political correctness.
Subjective
you can weigh in on those. We're going to do kind of a redone new old bit called This or That, in which we offer each other choices of two things and see what that person's answer is. Before I go any farther, let me do my fealty, Francis, for crushing me in the Masters.
Oh, Masters, yeah, a little tough when my guys go first, second, and 13.
You probably should thank me for giving you an opportunity to actually pick the winner in the Masters.
he was already on my board. Stenson was my wild card, but. And he managed to make the cut. Then he moved up the board.
I think I did text you on Saturday and said, I'm dead. Yeah. You got me. I'm crushed. My boys didn't show up.
They all finished together.
Yeah.
Like, they all finished the same within two spots of each other. Basically, what happened was their finishing spot was the points. My guys finished first, second, and 13, which means I ended up with 16 points. Low points win in golf, by the way.
Right.
Tony was somewhat north of 16.
Quite north of 16. But I did, in darts, it would be called a tight grouping.
It was a grouping, no doubt. Yeah. Yeah. Westwood, Scott, and who was your Bubba all finished down in low 30s.
Yes.
High 30s, I should say. 38s.
Okay. My foray into the golf world.
I don't imagine you watched, but...
very little.
Sunday was fantastic. I mean, you had this kid that went wire to wire. It looks like, you know, he's going to be a great champion. Yeah, and Phil and Tiger, and, you know, it's just a lot of old timers and a lot of and Tigers in the old timer group. But Tiger Woods throws up a minus six, his first four rounds of golf since October. I mean, that's pretty impressive. So look for more Tiger announcements on the podcast.
Hats off to you, Francis. Let's get started.
It
was what?
That was easy pickings. I mean, now if it was football, it'd be another discussion, but that's golf, bro. You had no chance.
I cross-referenced articles from different sources
good for you.
To come up with, you know, a grouping. Yeah, whatever. Golf sucks anyways. Oh, I do have an announcement. I'm gonna stop swearing, and I'm going to only swear in the military
golf
alphanumeric argument.
So
it's going to be like Foxtrot Yankee, stuff like that. Foxtrot Mike, stuff like that.
Okay.
All right, let's shotgun the news.
Okay, boys, let's get started. Give me both barrels and shotgun that news.
Aaron Hernandez, New England Patriots tight end, murderer.
Guilty, yes. And because of the way the charge was... Because of how they charged him, there's no need for a sentencing hearing. Immediate life in prison. Without parole. So this is it. Bye-bye, Aaron. But there are two more trials coming. because he's been charged with the murder of two men in a drive-by, and they're being tried separately. So even if he tries to appeal this particular verdict, I think in a month these other two murder trials start. So he's in the trick for a while. I don't think you're going to see him again.
All right, that's promising, you know, career.
The best tweet I read, and this I guess is not really funny, but the best, at least not to the victim's family, but the best tweet I read so far today about that was, more people have been killed by University of Florida football players than have been by Ebola in the U.S.
That is terrible, but true. All right, next. Fran, I don't know if you heard about this. I just heard about it today, and I've been trying to get caught up with the story about these, I think that they were 8 teachers in Atlanta, this cheating scandal. Two of them were actually sentenced to do prison time. And it was a big cheating scandal for the teachers. It wasn't for the benefit of the students. It was for the benefit of meeting certain quotas, right, of having students.
It was low-scoring schools, and they were pumping up their, yes, scores, right?
Yes.
And that boys are going to do time for that.
And Judge Baxter said they needed to search their soul and take responsibility.
I mean, they're talking about all the way back to 2001 that this, yeah, was going on. So they've been taking money for a long time. The school
he allowed some of them to plea bargain, I guess.
And one got acquitted.
And there's all kinds of them doing different community service. One of them's confined to the home for a year, like a home prison. Angela Williamson was ordered to serve 2 years in prison and a $5,000 fine, 1,500 hours community service. Pamela Cleveland, I mean, I'm reading these are in the paper, 1 year home confinement. Michael Pitts, 2,000 hours community service and a $25,000 fine. Tamara Cotman, 7 years in prison and a $25,000 fine.
But read this. I mean, this wasn't even, like, secretive. They were holding cheating parties with the superintendent of education at Atlanta Public Schools. Like, getting together and erasing answers and putting,
yes,
new answers in.
Yes.
But so it wasn't like they were doing this. They would go to one of the teachers' homes or do it in the school and have a party, order fucking pizza, and sit there and cheat for these kids so they could pump up their scores and meet the standards that they're supposed to meet to get their money, their aid money.
It's a bizarre story, man. It is like, what?
Yeah.
What?
Wow.
I don't know. It's reminiscent of, like, I wasn't alive during, like, the Chicago White Sox game fixing,
yeah,
scandal.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, 8 men out. Yeah,
it has that feel to it. Like, what? Wow. Yeah. It's bizarre. If you haven't heard about it out there, check it out on CNN or check it out, the Atlanta Public Schools cheating scandal.
It makes you wonder, like, for as long as they were getting away with that, how many other schools may be doing something like that? Like I said, I mean, this wasn't like they did it a couple times and felt like, oh, crap. They had parties, like cheating parties.
Right, right.
With the superintendent of Atlanta Public Schools. I mean, it wasn't like the janitor of the local, you know, PS 129. I mean, it's the head of education in Atlanta.
Not minor infractions.
Holy cow, man. That's unbelievable.
It is a bizarre.
So my point being, though, they can't certainly be the first school to ever think of that, right?
Right.
Makes you wonder.
All right, next. Fran, your friend and mine, Micah Brzezinski from Emerson.
Mika Brzezinski, daughter of the Big New.
Yes. You put this on the script, called Marco Rubio a little boy.
Yeah, so he did his, hey, I'm running for president deal. And then, so on Morning, you know, she's the co-host on Morning Joe with Joe Scarborough, former a Republican congressman from Florida, and during the Newt Gingrich speaker years, she called him the little boy. No one really seemed to react to that. Somehow she got a pass, and I'm wondering if Joe Scarborough had called, I don't know, pick somebody.
A little girl?
Hillary, just an old bag or a battle axe, what would have happened? Had he used a sexist term towards a female member of the Democratic Party, what old Mika would have said then? And you know me, Tony. I'm so damn lazy. I don't really get involved in this crap. I'm not a protester. I'm not a champion of causes. I really, because I just don't care. But the double standard here from people like Mika strikes me. I mean, it's so blaringly blatant. I would want to ask her, well, why do you feel like it's okay to say that and not comment further? Like, you didn't.
Right.
You just let that hang there. No one seems to want to challenge her on it for some reason. But the minute someone else would say something the other way, she'd come out of her high heels on that.
Yeah.
You know she would.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just like bald face, you know, double standard there. That just drives me nuts.
Well, we might talk about this a little bit more when we talk about the PC police. I do think it's a double standard, but I think it's because people don't care what you call full-grown adult males.
That's kind of my point. Yeah, I agree. Absolutely agree. You know, yeah, that
standard
clearly exists.
As we'll talk about in the PC police, buddy, you better be careful about sexist terms towards women because, they will jump and scream.
Now, it happened too late for us to get it into Shotgun the News, but there was a female teacher who had a nude Twister party at her house for her daughter and his 16-year-old.
Nice.
And she ended up having sex with several of the young males in the room.
Huh.
One, a 16-year-old, her daughter's boyfriend. She's already been released on bail. Flip that script.
Yeah.
And that's a dad throwing a party for his 16-year-old son, and he you know, ends up with the girlfriend in the bedroom. There'd have been a SWAT team descended on that house.
Oh yeah,
and
sure.
He'd be hanging from the telephone pole.
Sure.
And maybe there'd be torches and you know, crowds massing at the prison to want to kill him on sight. There is a double standard. It exists. Clearly, it exists.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right, next. Gary Hart, a former presidential candidate who's not been around for a while, says big money Clinton campaign should frighten America.
Yeah, of course he's old, so everything looks serious on his face, but I mean,
he's 78.
He's like, you should be frightened of the amount of money she's coming into this campaign with. And I think you said it earlier, is she at the $1 billion mark?
I think she's projected to come close to the $1 billion mark.
And I would assume if she becomes the nominee, she's going to go the way of President Obama and not take public funds, which means she'll be free to raise as much money as she wants. Now, that law was put into place by Republicans, but I think she's clearly going to do that because she'll get a lot more money that way, as Obama proved, that you know, when you go out and you have a good machine, you'll make a lot more money than the public donation funding. So, Hart says if that should frighten you, that the amount of money she's coming up with.
Well, I think his point is well taken, that's what our system is coming to.
Well, it's not coming to. It's there. I mean,
Obama, you're going to have to be a Bush or a Clinton, or you're going to have to be some kind of political royalty, in other words, to have a shot of getting that office.
Or like Obama did, and come up with a machine that will generate you millions and millions of dollars in cash.
Right.
So that you can be president.
Right.
I mean, you know, McCain took public funding. And he wasn't present in all 50 states. Obama ran a 50-state campaign, and he won soundly. She's going to be able to do the same thing because she'll be the first one to come in with $1 billion. So
all you people out there that are for the little person,
yeah,
she ain't one of them.
Yeah,
okay?
No matter how many burritos she stuffs in her face, she has $1 billion.
I just always hear this rich Republican, poor Democrat nonsense. She's projected...
Yeah.
She's projecting. Well, I think he said in his article, and it's been bandied about that they could wind up spending $1 billion on this campaign.
Yeah.
Okay. That's serious, Jack.
Yeah.
Wouldn't want to spend any.
So Gary Hart, a Democrat, saying
Colorado Democrat
should frighten you.
Wouldn't want to spend any of that money on any people that needed food or the homeless or anything like that. Go a long way to solving some of them foxtrot problems. All right, next. Rand Paul staking his claim in the middle, Francis.
You think this is like backlash? If people were saying he wasn't a real libertarian, and now he's trying to
a little bit
separate himself.
Yeah,
basically said that the deficit grew 2 times under Bush, and then another time under Obama. He what he said was it tripled under Obama, but And so immediately Democratic newspapers took him to task, and he's like, hey, let me educate you on how this works.
Right.
It went up twice under Bush, once under Obama. That's triple.
Right.
So
right.
He's saying it went up triple over the expanse of their 16 years in office, is what he's saying. And he's trying to blame both parties to show, and that's really not even his point, right? He don't even really care about that. He's saying, look at me. I'm taking a shot at the Republican establishment. I can win that middle vote.
Well, I have a couple thoughts on that. Number one, I think that's exactly what he's doing. Yeah. Number two, I think he's probably right.
Well, his facts are true. Like,
you know,
he's not blowing smoke. His numbers are actually true.
So, and I think we'll talk about this later when we talk about Rubio. You know, one of the things I would like to see from some candidates is saying, here's a solution. Here's a problem. I'm going to call this out. Not just take a stance based on party lines.
Right.
Which is what we sell on our podcast.
Right.
Let's not just take a stance on party lines.
Right.
Let's figure out what's right or true or whatever.
Or
not,
smart.
Not
hideously dumb or whatever.
Not claiming that we're virtuous or anything, but just what makes sense.
Well, who would believe that?
What is right? And it's true, you know. He's saying, hey, no. Here's what happened. Yeah, it doubled twice under Bush, once under Obama. This is bad for us.
Yeah, so he's saying in the last 16 years, the deficit has tripled. That's basically what he's trying to say. Immediately, some liberal, Max Slate and a couple others, took him to task and saying, no, it did not triple under Obama. And he said, I didn't say it tripled under Obama. It reached three times its size while he was president.
Mm-hmm.
That's an accurate statement. So, you know, what I took from that was, too, how many times have you seen it? The minute the press buckles at something, the candidate goes into explainer mode, right? But to backpedal mode. Rand Paul, I'm going to help you with your reading copy, aren't you?
Right.
And let me explain how this actually works. So, you know, so I kind of like that about him. I think, you know, that he's like, hey, I don't need you. And if you can't understand what I'm saying, then you need to get educated.
Right.
So we'll see if it works for him. He's clearly, like you say, planting that flag in the middle ground, and we'll see if he can keep it there.
It's going to be a tall order.
I think on economy issues, I think he will be able to do that.
Yeah.
There's going to be some other issues that he's going to have to make a side.
I think you're right. Yeah. All right, next. Francis, I will give this one to you.
Here we go, man. Here we go. It took 1 week, dude. 1 week. This dovetails nicely into my little Sharia law rant from last week when you all thought I was crazy. A pharmacist in Georgia refuses to fill a prescription because of her stance on abortion. So here's what happens. A woman was pregnant. Her doctors told her what she feared, that her baby was dying. And women, having gone through this, I don't know if you did or not, but having gone through it with my wife, they know when something's not right. This is early stages of the pregnancy. Doctor said, yes, the baby's going to be dead within a week. If it's not dead already, we're going to check that right now. Then they have to perform a procedure called a DNC. It's not pretty. Or, in some cases, if the mother is in a proper situation medically, they can give them a pill that would naturally cause the miscarriage of the baby and the fetus to exit the body. Certain conditions have to exist for that. And, of course, the pill we're talking about is the day after pill, right? The pill that creates an abortion. In this case, it wasn't the woman's desire to get an abortion. Her baby was dying, if not dead already. This was to avoid a very dangerous and psychologically damaging procedure, surgical procedure. So the doctor writes his prescription, sends it to the pharmacy. He calls the woman and says, look, they won't fill it for some reason. They're giving us backlash. Will you call them? So she calls, and they say, we're not filling that. End of story. Click. They hang up. Well, a week later, she needed another prescription for something else. She went in there, and she decides she's going to ask, why wouldn't you fill this? And the pharmacist said, I don't see any reason why you would need that. And she goes, well, what do you mean? Well, this will abort your baby, and I don't know why you'd want to do that. I mean, can you imagine? You're a pharmacist, honey.
Right.
Fill the damn prescription. Because this woman shouldn't have to explain to her that I'm not having an abortion. I'm trying to avoid a surgical procedure because I'm one of the few people who fit in that envelope who can do it. I mean, I had to grab that lady and drug her over the counter and beat her within an inch of her life. And then turned her loose on her pills and said, go find something that might help you with the pain I'm going to inflict on you. Are you kidding? This, people, listen to me. This is religious law. This is what you're going to get. This is what you're going to get. People enforcing their beliefs on your decisions. There's absolutely no reason that woman should have denied her that prescription. None. But because of her belief. Now look, I'm pro-life. You know that. You know, you've seen what I've written. But there is no way this lady should have made that decision. If she doesn't want to issue fill prescriptions that are against her, then get the hell out of the business. Right? Because this lady needed that for a medical procedure, not to have an abortion, and she couldn't get it because a woman enforced her own religious beliefs. You don't think we're under Sharia law, honey? Guess again. It's here.
Okay. I'll agree with everything you say, except we can't take the actions of one nutcase pharmacist and say that's equivalent to Sharia law because it is not.
Well, I'm making that in respect to what I said last week, and this is the one that I picked out of the paper. The one I didn't put on here was the nurse who refused to treat the girl in high school because she didn't say the Pledge of Allegiance, wouldn't stand up. Blocked her from calling her mother. Oh, she's not calling her mother until I give her a talking to. But why she didn't say the Pledge of Allegiance? When the Supreme Court ruled you don't even have to stand up. So it's not one. It's those are two, and I bet if we search more, we'll find more.
I agree that we could find all
my,
sorts
my
of instances.
My point is half tongue in cheek. All these people wasting their time about trying to make laws about Sharia law. It's here, people. It's just in the form of Christianity, not in the form of a Muslim religion. That's what we should be fixing our gaze on here, like because no one's tried to cut my hands off yet. But a woman couldn't get a prescription. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, there are actual evidence of these things happening.
I agree with you on that, but I just think the comparison to Sharia
law. It's a generalization.
It pales. It's not the same.
Yes, I understand what you're saying. What I'm saying is we're wasting our... Do you really think Sharia law is going to pop up in Oklahoma? And you're going to stand in a courtroom because you took a pack of cigarettes and someone's going to cut your hands off? Do you really think that's going to happen? That we have to have a constitutional amendment to the state of Oklahoma's constitution to keep that from happening in American courts? Well, no. That's what I'm talking about. I mean, that's the stupidity I'm talking about. Like, people are worried about amending their state constitutions so that judges could never use Sharia law in American courtroom. Because that's what we're talking about. But yet we have people enforcing their own religious views on people, denying them services to which they're legally entitled. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I mean, am I on the edge of hyperbole here in generalization? Sure, but that's kind of my point. Like, type Google both those things and see how many articles you get on states trying to amend their constitutions to block Sharia law versus people being denied services based on religious belief. I don't know, they'll come out equal, but you're going to be surprised at how many hits you get.
I think it's an overreaction on one. I wouldn't disagree with that. I want The Hobbit as the state book of Tennessee. I want the Lord
speaking of which, that bill passed.
I want the Lord of the Rings as the state trilogy.
I want Jedi to be recognized as a state religion. I don't think we're going to get that, but the Tennessee bill.
We're talking about the Bible bill that passed 55-38, which I think that Haslam's going to veto it.
You don't think he'll sign it?
He's kind
of
said that.
Well, the Speaker of the House would not. She voted nay.
Yeah.
The Speaker of the Tennessee House, I should say, voted nay.
I think Haslam said, his argument being that it demeans the Bible. You're putting it alongside the mockingbird and the tulip poplar.
Right.
It's just
dumb. That's a common sense.
My point is, don't you have better things to spend your time
well, this
on?
This is kind of my
How
point.
How about education? Right. Let's talk about that.
You have half the state can't even read the Bible. Right, let's talk
about
education.
If you really want to name a state book, why don't you pick a popular Tennessee state author and name one of his popular books?
Yes.
Something that would have a historical or geographical connection. Might make sense.
There's a bunch of them out there.
But don't you have any freaking better things to spend your time on?
Right. So what we're talking about is the bill to make the Bible the Tennessee state book passed in the House today, 55-38, awaiting now the governor's signature or veto.
And I think the state attorney general said it's unconstitutional.
Well, yeah.
Which I don't...
We don't care about that crap,
you know. Anyways.
We're God people. We want the Bible.
Well, we don't care about it under Obama.
We don't need no stinky constitution.
But yes. I mean...
Obama breaks it do we get mad. When the right people break it, we don't care.
Do we just not got real shit that we got to take care of? I'm sorry.
99 problems and this ain't one.
A real Sierra that we need to deal with. All right. That's tonight's Shotgun in the News.
Let's get hardcore.
Francis, your girl is in.
Hill Dog. Hey, we're running out of seats, Tony. We better make our announcement soon.
Well, there's plenty of seats on the Democratic side.
Well, that's true.
Not a penis in the party.
No, that's so true. Far. That's true. And nothing but swinging penises in the Republican Party. So we got Hill Dog, who is essentially what we're... I don't know if we're ready to commit to this on air right now. But saying it's pretty much going to be the only contender, do we think, in the Democratic side? Do you think someone's going to pop up late term?
Who?
We've been asking that question for a while. No one seems to answer it. But Hill Dog's in. So there was a media build up to this, and we're social mediaites, so we're on there, and I don't know if we follow the same political people, but there was a lot of announcements, a lot of, people said, oh, Hill Dog's going to announce at 4 p.m. They don't call her Hill Dog anymore. I'm the only one who still calls her that, but it, for all the world, it was, hey, she's announcing her run for presidency. There really was no ambiguity there. It was, this is the announcement.
Right.
So she's standing there, I don't know, Sidewalk USA somewhere, in a very strange-looking pantsuit that didn't translate well over video, and she essentially says, I'm running for president. So then she's going on this bus tour across the U.S. I'm not going to sing.
The van tour.
The van, sorry, not bus. The van, right. I'm not going to sing because God cries when I sing. So she's going to take the van to Iowa because she's going to go, because that's the first stop, so you got to go there, right? And the next picture we see is a grainy crime scene video from a security camera at, was that a Taco Bell? I don't even know where she stopped. Was it Taco Bell?
It was Chipotle.
Chipotle, yeah. Buying burritos. I don't know if she bought for the house or she just for the people in the van.
No, obviously just for herself.
She smoked a dude.
Her and her companion, Huma Abedin.
Well, was she the other person in the frame?
That's what I understand. Grainy. Huma Abedin.
Look, there's clear pictures of the Ohio grass man.
Huma Abedin, who is Carlos Danger's squeeze.
John Wiener's wife, yeah. Whatever his name is.
Carlos Danger.
So now, the backlash over the video is like, I should say backlash, the mockery of the video and the burrito video is like through the roof. Both parties are just like, are you crazy? This is the best. You've had 8 years to improve your first one from 08, which was god awful. And this is, you actually take a step backwards. And
now
her press secretary, when Megyn Kelly on Fox was mocking the thing on her, she wasn't really mocking it. She was just kind of playing it. And she kind of let it speak for itself. It really doesn't need to be. I mean, it mocks itself just in the playing of it. So Hillary's press guy saying, that's not the announcement video. That was just our video introducing her. Her announcement video is coming later. What?
Yeah.
Like, dude, we don't do this for a living, and we're already smarter than you, dude. You should be fired. That was hideously bad. And like, as you say, and as I know you're going to take issue with here in a second, they're essentially trying to rebrand her as a woman of the people, which they have to do. I mean, it has to be done. But how they're doing it, oh my God, this is brutal. This is brutal to watch. And the problem is, she's it on the Democratic side. So this is what we're going to get stuck with.
Well, yeah.
It's going to be, it's a train wreck that won't stop.
And this is my take. Hate me if you will. Francis, I've already shared some of this with you.
No one hates
me. I mean, Hillary Clinton would be a personal attorney lawyer somewhere in Missouri if it wasn't Arkansas. For Bill Clinton or Arkansas or somewhere in middle America. She'd be chasing down ambulances at best, slinging hash at a Waffle House at worst. I mean, this is just... of course I'm over-dramatizing, but she's got nothing on the ball. When we talk about politics, here's two things you have... One of two things you have to have. Wholesale politics, which we could typify with Reagan and Obama. These guys were great speakers in front of crowds.
Right.
They could sell their ideas. They could
move people. Whether you agreed or not.
Whether you like them or hate them, you have to give them their due. Or there's retail politicians. Lyndon Johnson was supposedly a great, and I'm talking about glad-handing, making deals with individual people. George Bush, for all his affable,
master at it.
goofy, known for his gaffes, everybody, even people that disliked him, said in a personal level, he was warm and sincere, and he always came across.
Even Joe Biden has more cred in that degree than she does.
Joe Biden is a classic retail politician. You're hard-pressed to find people that on an individual basis say they don't like him.
Right. Even Republicans in the House right? and Senate say that. Right. That's right.
Hillary has none of that. She has no wholesale game. She has no retail game. Yeah. So she's left with this nonsense bullshit of coming up, sorry, nonsense bravo of coming up with this, bravo. I'm going to travel across the country in my van. I'm going to nickname it Scooby because that's cute and see, it makes me a person of the people.
Already, we know this, when we say, when we attribute these things to Hillary or to Obama or to Reagan, they have people around them.
Right? Oh,
she's,
yeah.
She's not coming up with, she don't even know who Scooby-Doo is. She didn't even know what the internet was 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
So, again, anyone in my eyesight, if I was her, at 9 a.m. this morning, would have been fired. Because these people have to be smarter than... Because
she's trying to rely on these people to create a personality for her.
But it's not like Fox is the only one burning her down right now. They're all doing it. So when your enemies and your friends agree on a particular thing about you, it's probably true. Right? So at some point, she needs to say, what the hell? Even my base is saying I'm an asshole. So... Maybe I need to get rid of these
she
people.
Didn't learn. This is the same lesson that she didn't learn. If you remember when she came out with her book, doing her book tour, and she made that famous gaffe of saying, you know, when we left the White House, we were dead broke. Yeah. Somebody told her to say that. Because that's going to identify you with the common people. That backfired on her. Again, even people that supported her said, what a dumb thing to say. Don't say that. Nobody thinks
you're
broke. When
the ultra-liberal late-night comics are tearing you up. You've jacked.
But this is an extension of that same thing. Yeah. Like, we're trying to give Hillary a personality because she basically has none of your own. And what I said to Francis earlier when we were chatting about it is, have you ever heard Hillary give a speech and said, I get it. Or like, have you, even to listen to, let's say, Bill Clinton or Obama, whose politics I detest, I can listen to him give a speech and say, I understand why people are attracted to that person.
Right, on his ability to public speak, it's undeniable. He's one of the best we've had. Not the best, but in the top five. Bill Clinton is up there. He talked the pants off of anybody. I mean,
Bill Clinton had both, right? He's got a wholesale and a retail
game. Which is why he got 8 years in
the White House. Everybody said that. That's why he got away with molesting women half of his life.
Right.
Apparently.
Well, because he makes relationships. He makes connections. She's the polar opposite of that.
Yes.
If you see her give public speeches... And the week before she made the announcement, she was at a women moving forward conference or something. It was about professional women, and it was brutal. I mean, it was just, I'm watching this speech and thinking, oh my God, this is going to be a horrible year and a half listening to this woman, because she's like an ice block up there talking. It's just, there's no connection whatsoever. And I want to kind of believe what she's trying to say. It's like, I can't even get a hold of what she's trying to. She can't connect with the audience, and when she tries jokes, it's...
Right.
I mean...
Right.
Yeah, it's like what we would teach, right, when we used to teach public speaking
at
the academy. Don't do funny if you can't do funny.
If you can't do funny, don't do it.
Right, don't do it. And someone needs to grab her and say, stop with the jokes, look people straight in the eye, and tell them the truth. That's your only chance. You're going to win your party's nomination. That's not an issue. But in a general election, you're going to have to stand up there and debate with dudes who know how to make connections with the audience.
But we know, Fran, that some politicians... I think Hillary's at the point where people have either told her that or they refuse to tell her that anymore.
Well, right.
Because
she's
not going to listen.
Right, right.
So she's going to do her thing, and she
she'll get her nomination, because unless somebody jumps out of the crowd and runs against her, she'll be the Democratic nominee.
God help us.
But the issue will be... When she comes up against someone, I mean, you know, Rand Paul is pretty personable. I mean, Marco Rubio, if he could just...
The Republicans have several people that can come across. Speaking of Marco Rubio, he's the next guy that's going to have
the skip off Hill Dog. Right. So he announced, so this little boy, as Mika decided to describe him, this neophyte in politics, which he really is. I mean, he's essentially at the same point that Obama was when he started his move. Had a pretty standard but pretty impressive... announcement, the situation there, announcement gig, party, whatever you want to call it. I think people were generally impressed by it, by its organization and by its theatrical value. Not as like with Rand Paul, where there was a lot of questions about his father and there was awkwardness there. This was a pretty smooth sail for a young kid. I mean, he's young. There's no doubt about it. And he's new in politics. Yeah. So
I mean
he's right there. He's a year younger than Obama was when he started, and he's slightly longer in the Senate than Obama was. Not much longer, right. But slightly longer. So but he put on a good show, and he made some good points, and the kid can speak, and you know, well, I think as he gets more comfortable campaigning, he's going to be formidable to deal with.
This creates some difficulties for the Republicans, yeah. Because he's leaving a solid Florida Senate seat.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm either going to be a senator, or I'm going to run for president, which means he's going to give up his Senate seat, which means that will have to be recompeted, mm-hmm. And the Republicans are going to have to spend money to regain that seat. So there's a little friction there. We've talked about this before. This is a tough time for Republicans,
yep.
Because you either have to go now or assume that you may have to wait for 8 years.
Right.
Because if a Republican gets in there...
You can't run against them.
You can't run against them at 4 years. So he's rolling the dice now. I think he'd be better off to do, you know, a couple of Senate terms and be a power player later.
I don't want to say unstoppable because you don't know who would appear in the next 8 years.
Everything can change.
Or
you
next
don't know.
Four, because if Hillary were to win, there's no guarantee she would get her 8 years. But, I mean, we kind of think she would, but there's no guarantee at that. So in 4 years, you could take a poke. And he would be formidable. You know,
I would think so.
A guy approaching 50 with experience in the Senate and the committees that he's on, you know, he would really be a formidable person.
A Republican with a Hispanic background, yeah. Coming from Florida, he's got a lot of work.
The other issue he's doing, he's, you know, as you say, he's causing them to spend money in Florida, which they were not going to have to do because they're going to win Florida as a presidential nominee. And if he had stayed in his seat, then they wouldn't spend money in Florida. Now they're going to have to do both. But he's also putting Scott Walker in the trick. Because Scott Walker was looking over all the world like, man, this might be the guy. This might be the guy. Christie came out of the straw polls like dead last, so he's out. Rand Paul's picking up a little steam. But Scott Walker looked like he was going to be the dude. And Rubio looks like now he's going
to
be...
Rubio can challenge. Rubio has to walk a tightrope on his immigration policy.
Right.
It's
a little confusing.
I personally agree with his immigration policy.
Well, he went against the bill that he first authored. So... Because it, you know, as tends to happen, if you get into the minutia of these things, it got jacked around in committee, and what came out was not the bill that he sent in.
Right.
So he pulled the old "I was for it before I was against it," you know, situation.
I tend to agree with what he's proposing now. I think it goes against most conservative Republicans.
Yes, that's the other issue.
Because they will use the amnesty word, and of course, all conservatives are against amnesty.
No, they get goose. Yeah, they just
they want to drive semis around the United States, load up Mexicans and ship them across the border. I agree with Rubio. Close the border, A. Stop people from coming across...
Illegally, right.
Illegally. Then let's deal with the people that are here. And a reasonable way to deal with the people... Because I agree, not all the people that snuck across the border and have jobs that are in the United States are bad people.
Right.
Some of them are, but they're not all bad.
Right. Well, it's roughly the same cross section of people who live here.
So,
some are bad, some are good. It's just kind of
so. Let's sort through them. You know, he's got a path, and it's actually kind of a difficult path where people would need to earn their citizenship.
Right.
Let's do that. That just makes sense.
What's the? Is this the military service? What is the name of that bill?
I don't know.
The DREAM Act.
Oh yeah.
You know where you serve in the military and you earn your citizenship that way, which is how all my uncles from Italy did it, this back in the 40s. Or you go 4 years of college and you work a service-type job in the government and earn your citizenship that way. So, and that was, I think, something that Mitt Romney championed during his campaign. And he said, you know, if you let these people get jobs, help bolster the economy of Mexico, those who are having a rough time here will go back on their own. Self-deport, I think, was... what he got collared with. But there are Republicans out there who believe that a semi rounds up the people is not the answer. So Rubio, you know, he may find support there.
He may find support from people like me who tend to be in the middle and say, let's stop with all the nonsense and figure out how we solve some of these problems.
And understand that these are humans. They're not all criminals. Not every one of them is a criminal or a murderer. It's just, it's just silly to think otherwise.
I agree. But that could be an uphill road for a guy that is sharp, is trying to offer answers.
But as you know, though, Tony, with presidential politics, it's hard to know what will become the issue.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And immigration might not even be the issue when this thing ramps up. So it may not. It may end up not being a problem for him altogether. And I tell you, I mean, he's going to be a problem because I don't think people thought he was going to be as formidable as he is, as he's appearing to be. He's, you know,
again, we'll see how this shakes out. We've got more people to join the party.
Oh, and now,
before the party's over,
The public polling something PPP are saying Jindal has got the numbers, and it sounds like he's going to jump in. So this is the governor of Louisiana, current governor of Louisiana. So we might have another entrant in the Republican side of the house.
We'll see. Can we just have a couple of them run as Democrats? Would that hurt?
Can we just, you know, is there going to cut off maybe? Like, you know, we're at full capacity, no more members?
All right. Well, we'll see how that continues to develop. The party continues to grow, and that is tonight's Hardcore Politics. Fran, on tax day,
your record, just a few. Just say, your record is unblemished, my friend. Your bumper, in the business, we call this bumper music. So the music that leads us in and out of bits. Your bumper music is, dude, it's legendary. It is legendary.
Thank you, my friend.
I love it. All right.
Just a few facts from the Tax Foundation.
The tax man cometh. It's April 15th.
It is. And this is from the taxfoundation.org. I've done a little research. Here's the main fact that I want to talk about.
You work way too hard at this, but all right, go ahead.
The top 1%.
Oh, I know where we're going. I know where we're going already.
They continue to pay a larger share of the federal income tax burden than the bottom 90%
combined. Well, all those bastards make all the money. Why shouldn't they?
Well, here's something else that we want to talk about. But they are footing the damn bill. Let's not kill them all unless you're going to get their jobs. Yeah, and I'm talking to you out there.
I was just going to throw out hand grenades.
Well, I am, because I just get sick of that, like, let's just kill all the rich people thing. Yeah. They're paying all the taxes. You know what? When every one out of every $3 that I make goes to the damn government, I ought to have a bigger say than somebody that don't pay anything. That's what I think, right? I think if you're going to vote, you ought to take a test or something. Show me that you got skin in the game.
Let's clarify something, though, just for my own edification here. You consider a taxpayer anyone who has a job, right? Because taxes are being pulled out of their money.
Not necessarily.
Anyone who has a job is paying taxes, right?
No.
Why not?
No. Not federal income tax. That's what we're talking about, just for clarity's sake.
Well, because the feds take money out of your check.
Yeah, but under a certain income, you get it all back. You don't.
Well, I
mean,
I get
taxes.
All my money back.
Huh? That's because you make too much money, friend.
Okay. So I guess this is where I'm lost. Between you and your wife. We get a refund every year.
Excuse me?
We get a refund every year.
Okay. That depends on how much you have taken out of your pay.
Yeah.
You'd have to figure out your total tax picture. Right? When I look at my total tax picture, I mean, it took me a couple years when I retired because my income skyrocketed because I got a job and retirement income after that. It took me a couple of years to figure that out, right? Right? But I got it about equal now. But when you look at my total tax picture, I pay about 30%, 20%.
Oh, well, I mean,
it's not about how much you get back at the end of the year.
We're in the bracket. Right. We're in the mid-30s tax bracket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. It's not how... what you get back at the end of the year.
When I worked at Sears for minimum wage at $3.50 an hour, they still took money out.
Right, and at the end of the year, you file a claim. I mean, I know people that they take money out, and at the end of the year, you file your taxes, and you get it all back.
Yeah, well, I can't remember that far back.
It depends
back
on what you claim and
what
you do at the end of the year. But I mean, those are the statistics.
Yeah.
That's what they are. But also, here I want to talk about, because this is another thing that is important, as I read a little bit, is that, this is for all you America haters out there, we still have the most mobile economic society in the world. In other words, you can be at a lower economic bracket and move up more quickly here. Statistically, this is proven, than any place else in the world.
Hence the phrase "land of opportunity."
Very good, Francis. That hadn't even crossed my mind. But yeah,
Yeah, that, so, that dream
so
still
here's
exists.
For example, nearly 60% of the taxpayers who began in the lowest income group in 1999 moved to a higher income group by 2007. So, yeah, it is still the land of opportunity. You can still move up. You can work hard. You can go to school. You can get a better McDonald's. You know, flipping burgers is not really supposed to be a career. Some people may make that.
But these companies, you know, McDonald's sets their kids up for success, man. If you, you know, as a current frequenter of McDonald's, as I drop my kids off for school every morning, I have developed a speaking relationship with the window guy. And he's been
just
here a while.
Case, just in case you ever need a fallback plan.
You never know, bro. Your connections, you know, network. He basically says, hey, man, they're setting me up. Like, if they've got me in this pre-management thing, and they're lining me up at school and helping me pick classes and pay. You know, I'm getting grants from McDonald's. Like, you can apply to the corporate, and, you know, if you qualify, you get grants for. I mean, these corporations aren't stupid. Like, they're
Enterprise is supposed to be famous. I know some people that work for Enterprise. They're supposed to be famous for moving people
basically
up too.
Creating their own farm system for their upper management. You know what I mean? It's I'm with you, man.
You know, I'm just saying, like, you know, that's a pretty popular political thing to say.
Yeah, well, it's easy. It's easy to say.
But it's wrong.
Well,
that's my
point. Like, that ever stopped anybody. Dude, we're talking politics here.
That's my point.
We're talking politics.
But so many people still cling to that.
I agree.
Right? Like, they got to pay their fair share. Hey, they are paying their fair share.
Yeah.
Right? They're paying more than you are and just about everybody. And so am I, by the way. And I'm getting pissed off about it.
And this is a conversation I had with a good friend of the show, Kevin Thomas. Are there Silver Spoon Trust Fund out there? Yes. Mm-hmm. But the majority of these guys and girls worked their way to this money. Like, they worked for it. It's not like they're stealing it or someone gave it to them. Like, they worked for it.
You know, there are exceptions to it, but
sure.
There are exceptions to
everything.
It.
Right. There's,
yeah.
But they worked hard. Why shouldn't they reap what they sowed? You know what I mean?
I agree.
I never understood that. I never took that tax.
If you would have went to East Germany before the wall come down, you would have seen that what you had was two economic classes, poor people, and the 1% who took everything else.
You don't have to go there. You can go now to the Republic of Panama and see it.
Yeah.
There is no middle class there. There are the people who live in the ultra-rich section of Panama City, the capital city of the country of Panama, and there's everyone else eating out of dumpsters. And trust me, I saw it with my own eyes for 7 straight years. That's what it is. The workers, they have a union. Their minimum wage is $1.30, at least it was then, and that was 1999. So, and the Americans aren't even there anymore because Carter signed the canal over and we gave it back in December of 99. So I can't imagine the hit their economy took on that.
Right.
But that's a country with no middle class. They have the ultra-rich and the ultra-poor. You don't want to live in that society. You just don't. Don't want to do it.
All right. We're going to do something new.
Uh-oh.
We're going to do the UFUF PC Patrol.
Boy, the way Glenn Miller played.
Songs that made the hit parade.
Never go full retard.
All right, Francis, this is our PC police. I put that last quote in there for a very good reason.
That's very ironic. It's ironical, yeah.
There was protests when that movie came out about them using the word retard. And when that movie came out on TNT or TBS, it was, I don't know if you remember that, they dubbed in the movie, he says, you never go full retard. You went full retard. You never go full retard. And the TBS version, they dubbed that word for special. You went full special. You never go full special. Well, didn't they understand that they just...
Right.
They just put that connotation on a different word? They didn't really change anything?
Right. No, they
so
did
that's,
not
that's why
that.
That quote is in the PC police. Okay, first up, Clorox... Apple came out with a new operating system that had this diverse range of emojis on it, which I just think are stupid. But anyways, they came out with this diverse range of emojis. Clorox put out a tweet that said, like the new emojis, but where's the bleach? Which started a social media firestorm of people saying, that that was a racist tweet, that Clorox was saying all the emojis needed to be white. All I'm saying, Fran, is that it might have been a dumb tweet. I don't really know what it meant. But Clorox sells bleach. They have a Twitter account. They try to put stuff out there in the space.
They're trying to make a little joke on Twitter, which everyone, by the way, if you're not on Twitter, tries to be a comedian on Twitter. They're just trying to be a little funny and say, hey, how about an emoji for us?
Yes.
And then the morons showed up.
And so they deleted the tweet, issued an apology. The apology says, wish we could bleach away our last tweet, didn't mean to offend. Here's part of my argument. And you know, we've talked about this before. I mean, it comes down to money. If you're going to lose customers, you're gonna try to repair that. But man, at some point, somebody's got to go, hey, people, we sell bleach. I mean, wrong if that's what you think. That's what I would like to see. I would like to see somebody say, if that's what you think, you're wrong.
Well,
we sell bleach.
You're not going to want to hear this, but there is a group who actually pulled that off.
I would love to hear it.
And I guess it was 2002, and the National Organization of Women going to protest the Masters.
Women, we want
women members. And Hootie Johnson was the chairman of Augusta National Golf Club, which is where they held the Masters in Augusta, Georgia. He said, nope. The board gets to decide that, not you. Margaret something or other. I can't remember her last name. I wrote her a letter. She didn't respond. So she said, you know what? We're going to go after your sponsors. You know what Hootie Johnson did? He called the sponsors, and they only have three during the Masters because they try and keep commercials to a minimum. Coca-Cola, AT&T, and I forget who the other. It was a bank, I think. And he said, fellas, sorry, but you're not going to be able to advertise during the Masters this year. And we got 12 hours, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, uninterrupted golf. It was the greatest.
Martha Burke.
She was the president of the National Organization of Women. And we got uninterrupted golf, dude, almost 48 hours straight. It was the greatest event of my life. And I've had two children. So he just said, no, we're not going to do it. And I'm going to protect the sponsors by telling them you're fired. And we're gonna and the board members paid to run the tournament, so that tells you what kind of fuck you money they got, right?
Right.
So
Foxtrot uniform.
Yeah. Right. So I don't know what's happened. You said you're not gonna curse now. I can't stop doing it. So people can do it, but the problem is
you gotta have the money to do it.
You gotta have the money, and he didn't necessarily.
You gotta have Foxtrot uniform money,
and he didn't necessarily have a customer base he had to worry about. The tournament was going off. CBS was going to televise it no matter what. And, you know, and basically, National Organization of Women has become no more. I mean, you don't hear about them anymore. I wrote Martha Burke a letter saying, please pick at the Masters next year. And she would not respond. Probably said, Foxtrot, whatever.
Foxtrot Yankee. Mm-hmm. Well, here's our next story. Hillary Clinton's got a group. And I don't know the
super volunteers.
The super volunteers. It's like the liberal version
like
the of the Stepford Wives, right?
Wonder Twins. Activate.
And they have notified some reporters that there are words that they will be watching, reading, listening, and protesting because they consider them to be coded sexism. And here's the words: polarizing, calculating, disingenuous, insincere, ambitious, inevitable, entitled, overconfident.
Worn out, tired, sexist,
according to them, are secretive and will do anything to win, represents the past, out of touch.
Tired, worn out. Are they out of their freaking minds?
I think so.
I think you're probably right. That, and I don't want to use a Hitler reference here, but you couldn't tell him anything. And we may be on the verge of that with her. Maybe people are trying to tell her. Someone in that campaign has got to know something about politics. It can't just be us, right? I mean, so I would call these people and say, if I was her, say, if you don't shut your damn mouths right now, I'm going to send my death squad to kill all of you. I mean, they're doing nothing but hurt her. They're making her look like a moron. And you don't go full moron, Tony. You don't do it.
You don't. You don't go full special.
Well, look, she's on her. I mean, she's got one foot in the full special and another foot on the banana peel. This is ridiculously stupid.
Yeah, it is. I agree.
Because
none of those words have anything to do with sexism.
And to say that they do demeans women.
Yeah.
Are you saying that
every time I use the phrase worn out, I'm only talking about women as if women can only get worn out.
Yes, they're ambitious or overconfident. Right.
If I was a journalist, I would literally, as whoever this mouth breather is telling me not to do this, I would sit down in front of him with my laptop open and pen an article using nothing but the 13 words he told me I couldn't use.
I agree.
And then say, hey, read it as I hit send, jerk off.
All right. So that's tonight's UF.
See, and this is the problem, dude. It's going to be 18 months of this crap. We're not going to get a good campaign. Is. God, I hate it.
That's tonight's UF PC Patrol. In case we've offended anybody, I've prepared a special closing for you.
This is bumper out music, by the way.
I'm sorry.
Say you're sorry.
I'm sorry.
Okay, this is where Francis and I give each other two choices, this or that. We got to pick one or the other. Francis, I'll give you first up.
Okay. So you get to bust one athlete out of prison.
Okay.
To be starting on your team, whatever that may be. So who you got, O.J. Simpson or Michael Vick? Now, and you can take that as in their primes, right? Just because this is not real. So we're going to say... In their prime, who are you taking? O.J. Simpson out of jail?
Are we considering their crime?
You know, I thought that through on this particular issue. I'm not sure where America would come down on it because there's an insane belief that dogs somehow are equal to humans in this country. So, of course, Michael Vick accused of killing dogs, running a dog fighting ring. O.J. Simpson accused and acquitted of killing Nicole Brown and the other guy.
Here's what I'll say. O.J. Simpson was a far better running back than Michael Vick ever was a quarterback.
Well, this is the dilemma.
I will take Michael Vick because Michael Vick did a crime, served the time, and got out of prison.
This has been my argument
for
a long time.
He did the time for his crime. Now, you may agree or disagree with that, but he did it. Now, I think he's a tremendous athlete. I've never thought he was that good of a professional quarterback.
Right. Certainly not in the standard mold.
But he didn't cut anybody's head off, allegedly.
Right.
So
the glove didn't fit.
Okay, Francis, here's my choice. Here's what you can take. You can take Obamacare now or pre-no Obamacare.
Pre-no
Obamacare.
The Obamacare we got is not the Obamacare we were promised. I am a pro social medicine, whatever you want to call it. Socialized medicine, if we want to use whatever the most offensive term is to a conservative. I'm pro that. This is not that. Obamacare is, if I dare say, an abortion of that. Because he was about legacy, right? And all he's trying to do was ramrod something to say, hey, we fixed health care. But you didn't fix it. You gave us this screwed up bill run by these two morons who went full moron and gave us something that was so compromised on. And now it's shambles. I mean, and yes, more people are covered and all that. And it is actually some of the things are starting to work like they said, but ultimately it's going to have to be torn apart because we haven't got to the parts they've not even enacted yet.
Right.
So no, I'm taking the pre-existing condition over the current Obamacare.
Okay. You're number two.
All right. So you can have Joe Biden now for 4 years with the guarantee of the Republican candidate of your choice after that, or Ted Cruz for 8.
Oh, you. Sierra Oscar Brown. All right. This is easy.
Oh, it is. All right.
This is easy. I'm going to base this on the logic that I've used on our podcast. If you compared their politics and went down issue for issue, I'm sure I would agree with Ted Cruz far more than I would agree with Joe Biden.
Yeah, I would buy that. Yeah.
I think if Ted Cruz was the president, he would be the conservative Obama. Which means he would consider that he has a mandate of the people for his philosophy and his politics, damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead. right? That's what Obama's done.
Right.
He has not been the chief executive. That's why his administration's fallen apart.
Certainly not compromised in any stretch of the imagination.
Okay. He can't, you know, and Fran, you and I taught leadership for years, and we always talked about, you know, the choices of being a leader, that charismatic leader, or an efficient manager, and how they're two different things. And you might not be a charismatic leader, but if you make the trains run on time, that counts for a lot.
Right, right, right.
Okay, so to continue on with my point, I saw a movie, and I think I've mentioned this on the podcast before. It was called Cocaine Cowboys. It was about the cocaine trade in the early 80s, late 80s, early 90s in southern Miami, and about the proliferation of the cocaine trade. But they, in that video, they had a congressional hearing, and they were, you know, a Senate hearing, and they were talking to the people. Who was the senator that was doing the chief interviewing?
Joe Biden.
Joe Biden, right? My point is, Joe Biden's been in government for a long time.
Yeah. He knows that. He knows where the
I don't agree
are.
With Joe Biden on a lot of his politics, but I believe that he could administrate the government better than Ted Cruz. I would take Joe Biden for 4 years.
And no other reason that he would get the support of Republicans, because they like him. And they would keep the government running.
He would probably be more likely to work across the aisle. He's been in that. He is that we talked earlier. He's a retail politician.
Right.
Again, I probably wouldn't like a lot of his politics, but I think he'd have a better chance of making the trains run on time rather than just, I'm going to jam my agenda
and
down
Ted
your throat.
Ted Cruz, his own party, hates him. So
that's true. Okay, funny you asked me a political question. Here's the one for you.
All right.
Okay, the Republican nomination comes down to your choice. And your picks are Cruz or Trump. Who do you got?
Oh. Well, just for pure revenge, I'd pick Trump. Because you know he's just full, I mean, to the brim of bullshit, right? He can say what he wants about being a business leader and all that. I know the guys that lay the carpet and the tile in his casinos. I know the guy who owns the company who used to do stone business for him. They won't take cash orders from Trump because he doesn't pay his bills. He's a big mouth liar and a cheapskate who doesn't pay people and thinks he's the greatest businessman in the history of the world. Put him in the hot seat and now let's see him govern. I'd love to see that. He would probably be impeached in his first month. And I would love to see it.
Well, that's the other thing I didn't mention. 4 years of Biden would be entertaining. I mean, we'd get.
Oh, are you kidding? The comedians in this country would love it. Are you kidding? Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Okay. All right. That was my second question. What do we get three?
So you only get so. The United States is going down to one sport only.
Okay.
Well, because you got to pick. I got to set a scenario to make you pick. I don't want any kind of stray answers or loopholes. So you got to pick what you're going to watch on TV, sports-wise, golf or football, the European style.
Football? Are you talking about soccer? That's what we call it in America?
Soccer, yeah.
Oh, that's easy. I got soccer.
Really?
At least athletes play it. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, if Tiger Woods is here, he'd beat you to death.
Golf's a game.
Well, they're all games.
Soccer's a sport. I mean, they're both, yeah, I would have to go with soccer.
I think I would too, to be honest with you, just because it's more exciting and it's because I can still play it. I can still go play golf. I don't have to watch it.
They make an indoor version, which would be a lot quicker, right? It'd be a lot faster.
They do actually.
Yeah, I know. But I'm saying it. But that's not as popular as the out. You know.
Oh, to watch. That's correct.
Yeah,
that's correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, okay. That's my last one.
I got a sports question. My third question is a sports question for you two. More particular than that, and this has to do with your Eagles.
Uh-oh.
All right. Who would you have preferred, Bradford or Cobb?
Cobb.
Kevin Cobb?
He hasn't been there in years.
Well, that's my question.
Oh. Well, but you're talking about the guy they got rid of.
Who was the guy they got rid of?
It wasn't Cobb. It was Cobb left a long time ago. God help me.
Foles, I'm sorry. Foles.
I can't even believe it. I probably...
I don't know why I said Cobb.
I should probably be whipped for not knowing that.
Bradford or Foles?
Bradford. And here's why. I'm watching these other teams do it with quarterbacks, and coaches tend to pick the guy they want the guy they're comfortable with running their system, and they seem to have a lot of success. So I'm a trust Chip Kelly that he sees in Bradford either the trade bait to get the guy he wants, or that he thinks if Bradford can stay healthy, he's the guy to run the offense. I mean, the Eagles have made some great strides, and so I would. Foles was I mean, I liked him, but you know, he had that one prolific season where he almost didn't throw an interception, but then after that, I mean, he had a pretty pedestrian year last year, and he's been hurt as much as Bradford. What people don't realize, he's been hurt as much as Bradford's been hurt. So I'd take Sam Bradford any day.
All right, and that is This or That.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Okay, Fran, tonight's Sign of the Apocalypse, not the normal universal global sign that we often come across, but I came across a story that I thought was worth mentioning in Alabama, Mobile, Alabama. A large alligator jumped on an Alabama dock and ate a 100-pound dog, dragged him down and ate it. The dog's name was Mavis, which is disturbing to me because I know somebody named Mavis, and I'm rather fond of her. Mavis was not just a family pet, but a neighborhood pet. And the dog, a 100-pound female dog named Mavis, was dragged down near a boat launch at Arlington Park in Mobile, Alabama. This is a week after a crocodile was seen by some British tourists eating a man while they were on a cruise in a river in Zimbabwe in March. Then a crocodile in the United States jumps up and eats a 100-pound dog. Watch your animals, people. I think this crocodile may have eaten Kevin Cobb as well.
That might be where he went, yeah. Better check his belly.
Maybe that's where he went.
Well,
yes.
You know, when sea life attacks, dude, it's not good. This kind of ties slightly into the story about the Mars rover. Did you hear this now? Found evidence of liquid water on Mars.
I did not hear that.
Yeah, people. It's getting real out there. Every time we turn around, one of our devices is finding more evidence of life around the planet. And every time it has to do with water, there's another sea life attack.
So, there we go.
I'm not saying that Mavis is connected to this, but I'm saying that she is. So
we got crocs eating dogs, people. Watch your dogs.
Water on Mars.
When you're small children.
It smells fishy to me. I don't know.
Nice pun. Yeah, yeah. Nice pun. All right. Episode 88, I think this is.
88. 12 from the big 100.
Next is 89, and we're here. It's going to be huge. Episode 100, when we get there.
Yeah.
It's going to be huge.
We're still a long way off. I mean, we could be victims of a Sharknado between now and then, but you never know.
It could happen. It's hard to believe a little bit, isn't it?
It's a lot hard to believe, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, even that we've done this 89 times before.
Mm-hmm.
That's
and people are still listening. I think it's even harder to believe.
I would like to think that somebody's enjoying it. Apparently,
well, clearly they are. I guess that's the mystery to me. I don't.
All right, people. We will see you next week. Take it easy out there. Stay safe. Stay sharp. Jonah, please. Jonah, tell all the good people night night.
Night night. Night night.
Thanks for getting unfiltered and unfettered.